life, and you want a people who will also experience that life. So we ask today that you please help us to have ears to listen and give us faith to believe. Lord, help us to receive you today into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the amazing songs that we sung. Sometimes those of us who preach, you know, sometimes we forget. Now we still need to speak after we have sung. And so I've lost a little bit of my voice already. So today's Easter, so Resurrection Sunday, so we greet each of you. When it comes to Jesus being Lord, there's no doubt about it, right? When it comes to Jesus who rules victoriously, there's no doubt about that. And we can sing with all our hearts to really worship Him, adore Him, glorify Him, and exalt the Lord Jesus, because there is no one who is like Him. You cannot compare Him to anyone. There is no ruler, king, there is no one who is grander, greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Easter is such an amazing time for us. But there's something about Easter that if we don't pay attention to it, it just becomes a celebration of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. But there is something about Easter that is so important as well. And that is the growth of His people. So Jesus is victorious, but are His people living in victory? Jesus has conquered sin and death and even Satan. But are His people living that way too? Or do we just hope that because Christ has won, that His victory also becomes ours, right? That is biblical truth. But there's more to that. And I'm going to teach you today how you can appropriate the victories of Easter, of the resurrection, so that you become the Easter people that God wants us to be. Amen? Do you want that? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah? Okay. Can I ask everyone to please stand and let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 17 verses. Okay? So you're ready? You haven't opened your Bible for a while. This is a good time for us. So it says here, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Why? Because you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And because of that, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used, look at that, you used, that's past tense. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. The life you once lived. But now, you must also rid yourselves of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Look at that. Since something has happened to you, and since you have put on the new self, you put out something, and now you also put on something, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And if you notice, it's a continuous action. We are to daily clothe ourselves. We are to daily bear with each other and daily forgive one another if anyone has any grievance against someone. And then the Lord says the basis for doing such thing is, forgive us the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, the most important work that you must do, the most important application that you must do is to, over all these virtues, is to put on love. Say, put on love. Which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And then the final scripture is, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Praise God. You may be seated. This is God's word for us today. This morning, I'm going to share with you this message called Easter Life Formation. I want to share with you how the life God wants His people to have could be formed in us. Some of you might be surprised because you always thought that once you receive Christ, you have life, that life comes automatically to us. So it's quite surprising when you read of Paul in Colossians chapter 1, the final verse, which I have made as one of my life verses. You know, in my Bibles, I always write, this is why I do the things that I do. And verse 29, Paul says to this, he is the one we proclaim, he talks about Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Now that's the goal, that's the mission, to present everyone, that the body of Christ may become fully mature in Christ. Now verse 29, look at the work involved. Verse 29, to this end, I strenuously contend. He describes himself like a wrestler. I wrestle, I fight, you know, I contend. I stand in the gap and I fight for the people that we seek to become fully mature in Christ. So that's the challenge. That's the good news is Christ has won, and the challenge for us is He also wants to give us a life that wins. Three things to share this morning. First of all, let me share some of the audacious Easter claims that we read from our passage. And then secondly, to share an even more audacious outcome. And the finale po is the work part. We're going to share with you today what you and I should be doing so that this Easter life can be formed in us. Okay? So let's look at the claims of Scripture. What does the Bible say about the resurrection of Christ? You know, when you look at the message of Easter, there are two parts to it. There is the cosmic part. There is the impact of Easter, of the resurrection of Christ, that applies to the whole creation. It's a big thing, cosmic. And I think this is the truth that we often sing about, that makes us quite excited because we live in a world wrecked by sin. We live in a world where things get ruined and destroyed. And we long for the day of deliverance, the day when every wrong thing in the world gets corrected and rectified. We all long for that. If you have suffered injustice, you long for the day when justice is applied to everyone. So there is the cosmic part, but the often not celebrated and taught is the personal part. Jesus is Lord and He rules But God also wants his people to be ruling with him. He wants you to rule with him. So we're going to learn that today. So first of all, the cosmic part. You know, what is Easter? Theologically and biblically, Easter is an inauguration. It inaugurates, it starts something. The resurrection of Christ starts something that was never there before. Until after Christ came, lived among people, among humans, and after he died and came back to life, that new creation, that creation where creation is healed from all its infirmities, where we finally could claim by his wounds we are healed, where creation is healed, the environment is healed, when all sicknesses are gone. The Easter, the resurrection of Christ, reminds us this has started. And what started is a new exodus. Just as Israel, you know, finally left Egypt. They lived in Egypt for over 400 years. And now finally God sets them free. And the day is coming when the world wrecked by sin is going to come to an end. Because on that day, you know, when in this new creation, it's going to be the beginning of the end of sin. It's going to be the end and the beginning of the end of death, and also and the overthrow of all evil powers opposed to God in all creation. Another way of putting Easter is that it is the inauguration of God's, of the Creator's plan to rescue the world from sin and death and all evil. In Colossians chapter 1, we read this, no? In our passage in chapter 1, we read this. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Look at that. Jesus, the resurrected Christ, he is the first of his kind. There was nobody who is like Jesus. He is the first. He heads. He is the list. He is first on the line of those who have died and who came back to life and who will never experience death again. Because in his death and in his resurrection, Jesus disempowered death. Jesus conquered death. Jesus killed death so that those who are in him, so that those who are in Christ, even if they physically die, they can no longer die. Death used to be their executioner, but now death has now become their gardener. What a big change, son of Paul. That's what Easter is cosmically. So someone said, I think in one of the books of C.S. Lewis, he said that here, when everything sad in creation will be unsad. That's the cosmic impact of Easter. But there's also the personal. So we'll look into the personal impact of Easter. And here's the good news. The good news. Everything. Can you say the word everything? Everything. That's right. Can you say it more convinced? Everything. Everything. That's right. Everything, really. Everything Jesus accomplished on the cross and his resurrection is now mine. It's now yours. It's ours. It's for the people of God. But in what? In union with Christ. In union with Christ. Which actually, a Christian is someone who is now united to Christ. That's what a Christian is. It's not a religious person. You could attend all the churches in the world, but until you are united to Christ, you are not a Christian. It's only in our union with Christ that we receive the blessings of the crucifixion and Easter. So everything. Can you imagine? Everything. And I pray that today this would whet our appetites. And I pray the Holy Spirit would really open our eyes to what Christ has done, what you have, because you are in union with Him, so that our celebration of Easter would be complete. No, we're not just celebrating what Christ has accomplished on the cross and the resurrection, but we're also celebrating who we are becoming in Him because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Five things to pay attention to that we find in the first four verses of our text today. First of all, we have been raised with Christ. Look at that. Chapter 3, verse 1, since then, yes, Christ came back to life. He was raised from the dead. But Paul says, but you too, in your union with Christ, you need to see yourself that you have been raised to life. You're no longer separated from God. You're no longer spiritually dead. You're no longer disconnected from the life of God. You have been raised with Christ. And what does this mean? If we turn to Ephesians chapter 2, what this really means is where Paul said, but because then the first two verses talks about our being dead and our being dead because of our sins and transgressions. Verse 2 talks about our being slaves to Satan and the world, our being slaves to our own sinful cravings and lusts. But then he talks about, but God, who is so rich in mercy, He did something to reverse our pathetic and terrible conditions. What did the Lord do? Well, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, what did He do? He made us alive with Christ. You see that? You have been made alive with Christ. Because Christ resurrected, you have been made alive with Him. And even when we were dead in transgressions, and then verse 6, look at what happens, what it means to be raised up with Christ. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him where? In the heavenly places. You know what that means? First of all, is the Father welcomes us. But secondly, the risen Christ, who is exalted and ruling. You see, the seat is a seat by where Christ rules. He rules the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling His people, I want you to rule with Me. That's why growing in Him, knowing who He is, and knowing what kind of people we should be, knowing the truth, becoming mature in Christ, learning how to pray, learning His will, and beginning to be warriors for Him. I mean, these are ways for us to rule with Him. Wow, so the big question today, yes, Jesus rules, but are you ruling? Am I ruling with Christ? The sad thing about many Christians today is we have heard so many times that the power of Christ is unmatched. Nobody has that same power that Jesus has. But its impact on us is so little. Sometimes a lot of Christians live in defeat instead of victory. And that's why we need to learn what Christ has given to us, because we are united to Him. So that's the first thing. We have been raised with Christ. But the second, it says we died with Christ. It's like when Christ was crucified, you were also crucified with Him. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Look at that. And how could we be crucified? The crucifixion took place in the first century, at a very far place. I mean, some of you have been to Israel. I have not been there yet, but I will be, the Lord willing. But how, so how can a first century event become a part of my life? Well, the Bible says because you are united to Christ, because you are in Christ, the blessings, the accomplishments, the work that Christ did on the cross becomes yours also. You identify with this. Jesus substituted for you, but now you identify with what Christ has done for you. Can you say amen to that? Wow, is this not a profound truth worth embracing? You died with Christ. It means, it also means God no longer charges your sins because they have been paid for. When Jesus cried out, "Tetelestai," I mean, it is paid in full. I mean, God doesn't charge you anymore. You're free. You're forgiven. You have received the grace of God's forgiveness. But not only were you raised up with Christ, not only did you die with Christ, but thirdly, our lives are hidden in Christ. You know what that means? It means for as long as you are united to Christ, for as long as you have faith in the Lord, I mean, the enemy cannot touch your life. You're untouchable. You're untouchable because you are united to Christ. You are secure in Him. I mean, yes, there's a lot of challenges in this life, but as Jesus said, those who come to Him will never be cast out. They are safe. They are secure in Him. In Him. Okay. Do you see yourself in Christ? Your life is hidden with Him. And not only is your life hidden with Him, number four, we live in Christ. The life you live is the life that Jesus procured for us on that cross through the resurrection. Do you live that life? You know? This is Easter life. God is saying, I want you to live the life I have. I want you to have this abundant life. I want you to live the life that is lived in victory, that is lived in peace, that is lived in the joy of the Lord. And finally, he talks about glory. You remember verse 4 earlier that right now we are now glorified in Christ. Spiritually speaking, the problem of Romans 3:23, you remember the problem, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, we did not bear that glory that God wants His people to have. But now, because of Jesus, because you are in Him, imagine that, because you are in Him, the glory, the life, the beauty that is accorded to Christ is now given to you. God says, avail of it, use it, appropriate it, apply it to your life, apply this glory. And of course, the Bible says that this glory will be perfected when Jesus returns. And this glory will be given to us in a form of a body, a glorified body, a resurrection body. Just as Jesus, you know, came out from that grave with a resurrection body, you and I, we are going to receive this body as well. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you love this one? Do you like this truth? Is it exciting to know, wow, this is what I have in Jesus Christ? Okay, well, that's the Easter claim that the Apostle Paul presents to us. And now let's look at an even more audacious outcome. What happens? What happens now that we have been raised up with Christ, that we have died with Christ, that we live in Christ, that we are hidden in Christ, and now we are being glorified because of Christ? What happens now? What should we expect as a result into our lives? Let's celebrate that truth again, that everything Jesus accomplished, if I could just, yeah, I'm just praying that as we keep repeating this, it becomes, you begin to embrace it, that light will continue to shine in us. Everything Christ accomplished on the cross and their resurrection is now mine in union with Christ. Receive it, loved ones, receive it. That's who you are. in your union with Christ, you've been raised up. You've died to sin. Sin no longer has hold over your life. So, what are the outcomes? Let's look at some of the outcomes. First of all, in verse 5, the Apostle Paul talks about a therefore. You are this new person. You have this great gift God has given you. He has taken you in. You are united to the risen Christ. His life is your life. So, but what product, what result, what outcome should come out of that? Well, the first thing that Paul mentions is about killing. Now you have the power, this grace that comes from God to say no to sin. In the older English, they use the word mortify, to kill, put to death. Don't be gentle with sin. You kill sin. You kill sin or sin will kill you. There's no middle ground. You cannot play with sin and expect sin not to affect you. But the first outcome that Paul points out is this new capacity to put sin to death. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he makes a list. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and even greed. I just love Pastora Joseph's exhortation to us. You know, that now because you are in Christ, I mean, of course, money is a gift from the Lord. But now our provider is the Lord. You don't need to be greedy anymore. You don't need to think, I must have this money, because unless I have this, I am insecure. Because now you know, your life is hidden in Christ. You are united to Him. Why do you worry about anything? There is no need to worry anymore. There's no need to fear the enemy, even death itself. You don't need to fear death anymore because you've been raised with Christ. And then he says, this was the way that you once lived. I just want you to pay attention to that last line there. In the life you once lived. Did you notice that? He speaks in the past tense. You are a different person if you are in Christ. If you have submitted your life to Christ as your Lord and your Savior, God says you're different. There is a life you once lived. There's a life you still sometimes forget that you have. You still live as if you still belong to that life. But God is saying one of the outcomes of being united to Christ in Easter is that you have that life, but it's past you. It's in your past. It's in your past. That's why when Satan comes to you and tempts you, and you tell the enemy, but I'm not that person anymore. And Satan says, oh, but you still look like him. You sound like him. You are that person I used to deal with. You used to be my slave. And you insist, but the person has died. And if you want to, if you want proof that person has died, you bring him to the time of your conversion. And show the enemy, yes, I am that person, but I'm not that person anymore. I'm a new person because of Jesus. Wow. And then not only that, another outcome is that we are now able to read ourselves. We can no longer claim, this is who I am. I'm just by nature, you know, I'm a slave to anger, to rage, to malice, to slander, and filthy language. We can no longer speak like everyone does. You know. Recently, the last several years, we have our leaders in society. I mean, all of a sudden, they were, parang they're mouthing words we did not expect leaders to speak, right? I mean, but the Lord says you're different. Because you are in Christ, Your speech will be speeches that build. They're no longer used to tear people down. But the way that God's people would speak would be different, because they would be speeches that would build others. Can you say amen to that? Can you say that's who I am now because of Jesus? And so you have died and you were raised up with Christ, and we are dead to sin, and so we kill sin at sight. Okay? And not only that, verse 9, we no longer need to lie to each other. You know, we live in a world where lying is now expected, or is, you know, they call lies a white lie or whatever it is. But the Lord says, do not lie to each other. And why should we not lie to each other? Did you notice the word sins again? Since you have taken off your old self. You have taken it off. You should remind yourself every day, that old self, I'm taking it off. And then verse 10, look at verse 10. Paul presents a complete view, diba? Sabi niya, you need to take that off. Take it off. Don't claim it. Don't claim ownership to it. Don't say, eh, kasi, you know, kinat niya ako, kaya I'm raging. You said, yeah, I got cut, and wow, that old self is coming in, but I say, no way, you're not coming in. Oh, I'm tempted to badmouth the person. I'm tempted to kill him with words. But you say to yourself, but I'm not that person anymore. I'm still in verse 10. I'm putting on the new self. And what's happening to that new self? Look at what's happening, being renewed. It's something that is going on. In fact, every test, every trial, every temptation to sin becomes an opportunity for that new man to continue to be renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. You did not have that capacity before, but now because of the new life God has given you, wow, you now have that. Verse 12, let's look at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, now he tells us who we are. We have a new ID, a new identity. Three things about God's people. You are chosen. Well, it doesn't mean that, you know, that you were chosen because you were better than others. That it means that God showed mercy on you. You were chosen, and then you were set apart. You are holy, and then you are dearly loved by God. And then what should you do because of this reality? Well, we are now to clothe ourselves. Look at that. It's not enough to just take something off, but we need to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Is that happening to your life? You know, every day, sometimes when I go out of the house, I will say, Lord, by faith and because of you, I'm putting on patience right now. I'm going to drive. I'm going to go out. And there are going to be, you know, motorcycles that, you know, they don't follow the rules that I do. And I'm going to be tempted to think otherwise. So, Lord, I'm putting on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When you hear something that irritates you, that makes you mad, and that is just about to ruin your day, you remind yourself, but I'm not that person anymore. I'm less offendable now. I used to be so easily offended. I'm Mr. Offended. But now, I miss non-offendable. Look at that. Wow. Well, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. And then, of course, you do that because of what the Lord has done. And then verse 14, look at verse 14. Above all, this is the most important. Actually, everything we mentioned about, they were all expressions of love. Compassion, kindness, patience. They're all love. that are pictures of love. And over all these virtues, what are we to do? It's not a one-time action. You keep on putting love. Every day. Every day. Lord, I'm putting on love. Every day. Lord, I'm receiving your love. Lord, every day. I mean, swim, basks in the love of God over you. Because that's the way. That's the gift that you now have in the Lord. So, who is a Christian? Let me share this. One of my favorite definitions of what a Christian. A Christian is someone, come on, let's read it together. Someone who has been, number one, invaded, then captured, and then filled, and being transformed by the love of God. Are you that person? How many of you would love to be a Christian today? You like that? You want to be captured by God's love. Oh, Lord, I'm not as loving as I should. You know what you need? You need to be captured by His love. Lord, I lose my temper so easily. You know what you need? You need to be invaded and captured and filled and be transformed by the love of God. You cannot transform yourself however you try. However you promise, I will not lose my temper anymore. I will not do this sin again. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you try. You can try harder and harder. But self-effort will not help you. The only hope that you have is an encounter with the God who sent His Son on the cross so that He could substitute for you and destroy the power of sin. So He could destroy the power of death, and so He could give you the life He has planned for you. I need to finish, okay? I thought I'm preaching until 12, but I just realized that, oh, wow. Wow, I preached so long. Sorry for that. This morning, I only preached for 40 minutes, so I thought I would do the same thing. Okay, but what should we do with it? Let's look at verse, let me share verse 1 and 2 again. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts to appropriate this gift from God, to live out this your new position in Christ. You have to do certain things. You have to set, that means you have to position your heart and your mind towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to pursue Him. You have to pursue Christ. He pursued you, and now you pursue Him. He warned you, and now you run after Him. You set Him before you, as the psalmist said. I always set the Lord before me. That's the first thing that we are to do. You know, in Romans chapter 6, we also read, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. That's what we need to do. Do not stop rationalizing. Stop making excuse about sin. But what we need to do is to count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And do not allow sin to rule over you anymore. Say no to sin. Amen? Amen? That's the resurrected life. And then, of course, what the Puritans say. I love what the Puritans say about what to do with the biblical truth. This is one of my favorite quotes that I learned from them. They said, taking the truths of God's word and screwing them down into our heart and mind. To think about biblical truths, to meditate on them, to apply them to you, to share it with others, to pray this truth into your life, to prophesy this truth into your life, to claim, confess, I mean, whatever you could do to make them your own by the grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So they're talking about taking the truths of God's word and screwing them deep down into your heart and your mind until they catch fire down there. until an ignition, until a fire sparks, until it becomes a reality to you, until you start not just claiming it, but believing that that is what you have in Christ. That's what we need to do. You know, the problem with us sometimes is, you know, we hear a truth, and then in a few minutes, we hear another one, and then we forget what God has spoken to us. We need the discipline. We should not allow Satan to steal the word he has planted into our hearts. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. And verse 15, another truth that we must use to apply is we must let the peace of Christ rule into our hearts. Make that peace, that good relationship you have with the Lord, to serve as an umpire into your life. Let that peace rule over you. And in verse 16, another step, another work, another application that we must make sure it happens is let the message of Christ dwell among us richly. It's our responsibility to grow in the Word, to go deeper in the Word. It's also our responsibility to grow in wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge of what God wants, and also the capacity to apply them in given situations. That's wisdom. We need to grow in that if we are to become the people that God wants us to be. Can you say amen to that? And then finally, verse 17, it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord." I hear a very important step, not to growing in Christ, and that is the motivation, the reason behind everything that you do. Whatever you do, you know, when you wake up and cook your food, do it to honor the Lord. Whatever you do, when you work at the place of work, when you get married, do it to honor Jesus. I'm getting married, I'm raising a family, and the reason I'm doing this is because I want His name glorified on earth. And finally, the final point in applying this Easter claims is that word, giving thanks. I tell you, if Satan is so good at stealing your joy, making you ungrateful, making you forget how good God has been into your life. But today we say, Lord, thank you. I now know who I am in Christ, and here are the things I need to do, and please help me to become that kind of a person. Do you want to be that kind of a person? How many of you are saying, I wish I knew this earlier in my life so that I could have taken a faith step so that I could have the freedom from all the demons of my life? You know, some of us, we grow up with rage, no? May mga tao na, they love Jesus, but they have no control over the temper. They love Christ, but they can't help but watch those porno. I mean, how is it? Well, it's really possible that our failure to apply the life, the faith, the power of God over our life could lead us to trouble. But Easter people, they have been given a gift from God. We have to receive these gifts by faith. But then do the hard work. Do the hard work. Just like Paul, who said, I wrestle with all his might. Paul doesn't say, I will do everything I could. He knows it doesn't work that way. It will only work when you see the power of God, the finished work of God on the cross and the resurrection. Because when you know that power, no sin is so powerful that it cannot be broken. No life is so broken that it cannot be healed. No bondage is so strong. No chain is so strong that it cannot be broken. It could be broken because Christ died and he came back to life. And when he died and he came back to life, he destroyed sin. He overcame death. And he is going to put an end to all evil. And sometimes that evil is an evil that resides in us. We'll ask our musicians to come and let's pray and ask God to give us grace today. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning. Lord, I preached quite a long sermon today, but Lord, I thank you. I pray that the truth we learn will truly become real. They will become personal. Lord, I pray that we would see who we are, that we would see ourselves united to you, that we would see ourselves in you, Lord God. Lord, I pray today that those who do not yet see this position in you, this gift from you, Lord, I pray, if there are those who still see themselves outside of you, if there are still those who are trying their best so they could live in victory, Lord, I pray today for a breakthrough. I pray for that light to shine. Lord, I pray for that faith to come. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would see what you have accomplished on the cross and to apply that into our lives. Lord, I pray that you break every bondage. I pray that you expose every lie. I pray, Lord, that the light would shine upon us. The light that shine brightly on the cross and in your resurrection. Lord, I pray that would shine into our hearts today. Hallelujah. While our heads are bowed today, I wonder if there are those among us who are saying, you know what, I need this new life. I need this life that God offers. I see my life and I see those areas of my life where I need a breakthrough. I need God to come. I don't want this thought habits, thought patterns that do not honor God. I don't like this worry that keeps haunting me. I don't like this uncontrolled rage and lust. I don't like it. It's not for me. It's not me. I'm a new person in Christ. The good news is God wants you to have that life today. So if God has spoken to you and now you see the need, would you just, as an act of faith, would you just raise up the hand and say, Lord, I need you in my life. Yeah, keep that hand. Oh, Lord, bring that life. Lord, bring that life, that Easter life to us. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are able to do that. Lord, set your people free. Yes, Lord, set your people free. Let that new Exodus not only apply to creation, but Lord, let it apply to our lives, O Lord God. Set us free. Set your people free. Let the Easter life, let the resurrection power, Lord, come upon your people, O Lord God. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, if there is anyone here who still do not know you as the risen Lord and Savior, Lord, right now, let them come to you. Oh, hallelujah. Let them call on you, Lord. Let them call you Savior. Let them ask you for help. Let them call on you, Lord, as Savior and Lord over their lives. And Lord, everyone who would call on you today, Lord, we ask that you come. Come and reveal your will, reveal yourself, reveal your love. Oh, Lord God, salamat, Lord, mga bandages that are broken today. Sin, its power being broken. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. This is our prayer today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Let's all stand. Let's give the Lord. Can we give the Lord another praise? Amen. Praise God. So, resurrection people, let's go out and bring the good news. Let's bring the good news. Having received His peace, let's go out and share His peace to others. Let's be messengers of reconciliation to others, so that people who still do not know Christ as the risen King and Lord, that they would know Him. God bless you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Lord.